Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Let's go to the nation's capital. He is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year and, of course, a key member of the 85 Woof Woof Bears, a junkyard dog forever.
Woof, 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 woof.
He is Washington head coach Ron Rivera.
Ron, given all of these conversations that you're having with your football team, do you think your football team's name should change?
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era, that was always part of football. The name of the Washington Redskins.
Do you mean another time from this radio show, because, or another time with the moment? Because like a lot of monuments are changing, people are changing.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing. But you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era. That when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. You know, that's one of the tough things for me too. Is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate. You know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics. You know, while I was coaching, and I kept telling them, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that's all about the timing, the best time to discuss those things.
Everybody exploits the Indians, making them Zola commercials and F Troop and the Washington Redskins. Redskins, that's not nice. That ain't cool. That's a racial slur, man. That's kind of like having a New York, okay? The Denver, man. Can't have that, man.
Yo! Saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkins Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Man, the sports world needed some content. Those Ron Rivera quotes were everywhere, Dan McNeil.
Yes, they were. How about that? In Bristol, on the ESPN website, in where's Mike Florio camp out? West Virginia. Of course, it doesn't matter where he's camped out because it's on the internet. Everybody's okay. Running with the quotes because they were looking for stuff yesterday. And we played earlier in the day. No need to go through it again. But Florio doubling down, Mike Florio, and I've always enjoyed his work. I think he's tremendous at what he does. I love his sight. I enjoy his perspective enormously. I think he's got a real good handle on the NFL and the history of it. But why he continues to make this a Ron Rivera issue just baffles me. I don't know why he wants to lay it at the head coach's feet. Now, we said that we thought it was inaccurate to say the time isn't right. I feel the time is right to explore all of these things. If they are wrong, try to right them, that this is the perfect time for that. But Ron's a football coach, and that's what he wants to be. He does not have the desire to be a public voice for morality or the way things should be. He wants to coach the football team that is in the nation's capital. That's what he wants to do most. And one of these days, we will get around to talking to him about that. We've had him on twice now in these 15 days of pandemic. Once was for Score Stories and a drunk Dan Hampton breaking his window in Platteville, Wisconsin at training camp. And then we're talking yesterday about Cam Newton going to the Patriots and the Redskins team name primarily. We really haven't gotten in to his team's issues yet. We will one of these days. Sooner or later, we'll get around to Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, I mean, the other things certainly feel more relevant, some people might say, as of now, given how far we are away from football. But I'm always up for talking football with Chico, and it was great to have him on to talk Cam Newton. And I hear what you're saying in that he doesn't want to have that responsibility, but Matt Nagy's being asked questions about the anthem and social justice and George Floyd, right? Andy Reid's being asked about it. Like, these sports is a reflection of Americana. Dabo Swinney, Nick Saban, Coach K, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr. With great power comes great responsibility. When you are the front man and the spokesperson for these billion-dollar enterprises, the questions in 2020 are to be expected. And Ron Rivera was prepared for it. He answered how he wanted to answer. And I, when I asked the question, I had no belief that it's his responsibility to get the name changed. But I was interested in what he thought about either changing the name or the conversation around changing it. Like you said, I disagree that it's not the time to at least have that conversation, because clearly that is where we are as we kind of work through this inflection point in American history. We are trying to right some wrongs and, yes, make systemic institutional progress, but also make some symbolic progress as well. So I understand that that is not what he got into coaching football for, but I certainly think it's part of the job in 2020.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
I think you have to represent your organization in a very dignified manner. I'm not so sure I take it as far as you do, though.
Yeah, I just think that those guys are going to be, like, if there's going to be, if we expect it of the players or the players are doing it, I don't know why we would think that the coaches or the general managers or the owners or anything like that would not be there as well. Like, you know what I mean? Roger Goodell can look into a camera and say Black Lives Matter. The players can do it. The coaches can certainly be asked their opinions on it as well. Like, that just, it feels, at least, again, in the current landscape, that that is something that you can handle it however you want to, but it doesn't surprise me at all when the questions get asked. But I wanted to circle back around. We were talking about Cubs and Sox and a 60-game season. The only bet we said we've established is wins. We're doing straight up Cubs v. Sox wins on the show.
Yes. I proposed another bet, two of my Sox, Tanny's and my Sox, versus two of your Cubs for home runs on the season, and we're throwing Abreu and Eloy at you.
Yeah, and I would lean Schwarber and Baez over Schwarber and Bryant personally, but I'd be fine deferring to Shep for his pick on the other one. Do you have a strong lean on who the second Cub would be, Shep, in that home run total bet?
I'm with you entirely on Schwarber. I think Schwarber is the easy one there. I think based off of durability, based off of the amount of games and the few amount of days they're going to be played, I think I go Baez. Rizzo has had the back issues. He's down, what do they say, down 10, 15 pounds this offseason, best shape of his life, like you always like him to be. But I think I go Baez on that because I think his body is going to be the one that's built the best to withstand this unique Chicago sports season.
Yeah, okay, so there we go. So we'll do Schwarber and Baez against Eloy and Abreu for the second one. But before we get into some more bets, I do want to just talk about Schwarber for a minute. For years, the talk around him has been, are you trading him to the American League for a DH? He's bristled at it. He wants to be a catcher. He certainly believes he can be a left fielder. He turned himself into an adequate left fielder with a good arm and bad range who occasionally wore some clown shoes. out there.
That sounds like it was right out of the yearbook.
Yeah, it was not ideal, but
occasionally wore clown. That's exactly, that was a very good description. But the, yeah, the big
when,
blue
when
shoes
it was bad,
were
it was
accurate.
Ugly.
Oh,
yeah, right.
God.
Like that was what it was. When it was bad, it was really ugly. But this is what David Ross, the new Cubs manager, had to say about this curveball that was thrown at him, that now he will be managing the Cubs in the National League with the designated hitter.
We've got some depth in that area, whether it's Kyle and Souza or Vic and Wilson and managing that dynamic. I mean, honestly, Bruce, in this short little sprint and Jed's touch on it, having some patience, it's about balancing the rest, guys who are giving us the best at bats. We're not going to have a huge sample size, guys getting into the season, and we're going to have to kind of read at bats as we go, and what guys are squaring the ball up with some frequency, and really try to put those guys in a situation to succeed. So we have a lot of options the way our roster is set up right now.
So when he says we've got a lot of options, I'm thinking, all right, he mentioned Schwarber. He mentions Steven Souza. He mentions Caratini and Contreras. And I would throw, if he's swinging the bat well, Ian Happ, right? Happ is potentially an option as a designated hitter. Do you think it will be as simple as Kyle Schwarber is your, you know, 5-day-a-week designated hitter? Because I don't.
I don't think so either. I think they want, until he gives them a reason not to, I think they want to keep him placated and let him play left field at least 3 or 4 days a week. I don't think he'd be designated hitting more than a couple days a week. And you were right. He did get to be serviceable at it. You know, I don't know. Time will tell. Don't you think Ian Happ's going to be playing fairly regularly?
In the outfield. I do.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. I think Souza's known as a pretty good defender. Hayward obviously is the best outfield defender. There's always going to be the Happ and Almora, you know, debate and split in this town. Obviously, Albert Almora will never see any time as a designated hitter. I really liked Caratini as a late inning pinch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's good, man. Like his contact rate is good. He's a switch hitter.
Yep.
He's not atrocious at high fastballs. Like I was a fan of Caratini as a pitch hitter, so I do think that he's going to get some run as a designated hitter, because we know Contreras is going to play the vast majority of these games, and you want his bat in there. And there will be time, like when Contreras isn't catching and Caratini's catching, if Contreras is swinging well and you just want to give his knees a break, he'll be the obvious DH spot. But I think Schwarber gets the most plate appearances at DH. Like I would say that he's number one, but I think Caratini is a sneaky number two for this team. I think the Cubs front office really likes Caratini's offensive profile.
I think you're probably right. He's a good guy to have on the roster for everything you just mentioned and the fact that he can spell your best catcher when you need to give Contreras a break. That would he's a decent ball player. He hits from both sides. A little bit of power. Yeah, I think he's a good guy to have on your roster this year, given you got a designated hitter and you're gonna want to give Contreras some time off too. I don't care if it's just 60 games. You don't want to worry. That guy has shown us when his workload is as high as it's been, man, he drops off the table. Some of his production in recent years, and I should have had this in front of me. I don't. It feels like he has fallen off the face of the earth in August and September almost every year since he got here.
He has. I mean, and some of it's been injury and some of it's been overwork. And you could say that the injury might have been a product of overwork, right? He had the bad hamstring injury.
Well, and he had admitted that he did not treat the 17 season or 18, I can't remember which one it was, with the reverence it deserved and stopped lifting during the season. Everything that made him an all-star the previous year went out the window. He admitted that in training camp either a year or 2 years ago. I don't remember which it was. I think it was 2 years ago that was the story.
It was the 18 season after his good 17 year.
Yeah,
was,
okay.
Yeah, I think that and Schwarber, you know, I've loved Schwarber his entire time as a Cub. Like, I've waited for him. He's been like the guy who has a good first half and a bad second half, a great second half, a terrible first half. Like, OPS in 900 around the season when he was demoted, when he was so bad, and he went down to AAA. Like, obviously the 2015 playoffs were the stuff of legend. Like, this is a guy who's got an OPS over 1,000 in 98 career plate appearances as a DH. So small sample size, but when he's been just a designated hitter, he's mashed. And he absolutely crushed the ball the last 2-3 months of last season. He was spectacular down the stretch. Like, I'm waiting, and so we still won't get to see it this year because it's only going to be a 60-game season if they get the whole thing in. But we're still waiting for Schwarber to put the whole thing together. But I do think that DH is it's really good for him. Like, that's a guy who, in theory, should be in very good shape. Like, he should be able to play 55 of the 60 games. Like, right, if Schwarber is hot at the plate, there's no reason why that guy can't be in the lineup basically every single day, given how prolific he could be as a designated hitter. So I'm still waiting for it all to click. But, yeah, with Caratini as my pick for the second guy to be their DH, like, I was telling you this last at Scorehouse. Like, I'd really consider trading Contreras, and I don't think that there's going to be a very active trade market this year, so they might be kind of stuck. But a multiple-time all-star at catcher at a position that doesn't age very well. You've got Caratini as a switch hitter. Contreras is not the greatest pitch framer. And you've got Miguel Amaya in your system as one of your top-rated prospects as a catcher. Like, it's a position of organizational depth. Like, if you can get someone to give you 110 cents on the dollar for Wilson Contreras because it's such a tough position for so many teams to fill, like, he is a guy that I would try to sell high on personally. And the Elias Shep Bureau coming in with Contreras' OPS by month for his career. April 844, May 853, June 819, July 842, and then August and September 782, 767. So,
yeah, he wears down.
Yeah, pretty good sample there of the last 2 months of the year wearing down. So
he's
yeah,
got
that's
a special arm, though. He is a weapon behind the plate with that arm.
Yes, he is. And for a team that has been lackadaisical at times, that's not – I mean, I guess you could say his approach in the weight room, but when he plays with energy. He's a beloved teammate.
Yep.
He plays with energy. He's a guy who's got some spring in his step and July 20th. You know, he's a guy that has a lot – kind of like Baez. He adds a lot of value in that intangible way to the Cubs, but –
very well liked. Unlike Yasmani Grandal, apparently not well liked. I heard earlier today on this very radio station.
Oh, you know, I just heard about it. Good point. Let's play that. So this was Cody Decker with Bernsey earlier today talking about the new White Sox catcher who had no lavish expenses with his new contract. The source of Max Great. Oh no. We knew he was a roid guy, right? He'd been popped. He had been suspended, but apparently, according to Cody Decker with Bernsey, he was a little blatant with it.
I look at who the veteran leadership on that team is right now. You have Dallas Keuchel, but he's new to the team, and I can tell you right now, Yasmani Grandal is not going to be the leader of anything ever. It's going to be interesting to see. You got some incredible young guys like Moncada. Lucas Giolito is young, but you want a guy who's a leader? Lucas Giolito.
Why did you say what you just said about Grandal?
Oh, I played with him, and he did steroids in the dugout and the clubhouse in front of us. I couldn't stand him.
Is that the reason why you couldn't stand him, or are there other reasons?
I just didn't really care for him. I just chalk it up that he was young, and, you know, He's probably grown up quite a bit since then. He's been through quite a lot since then. He's played for multiple organizations now, and he's had a lot of success. The version of Grandal I played with was a lot younger and a lot different.
Wow. I mean, because that's – did anybody say anything to him if, as you say, he was doing steroids right there in front of everybody?
No, we didn't know. He was using those suckers. He was part of the Biogenesis scandal. He was, like, eating gummies that were laced with HCH. And he got caught. He got caught and he got suspended. But immediately after suspension, he just, you know, went right to the big leagues like nothing ever happened. So is there a little bit of bitterness from a lot of us on that one? Yeah. But, you know, he has proved to be a very solid baseball player. He's an all-star, and he can help that team win.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement, but
yeah.
The guy can mash, and he's a good pitch framer. So you sign up to a big deal. Be excited, White Sox fans.
As a ball player, Cody Decker was a that guy actor. Not a distinguished career by any stretch of the imagination. Spent time in the Padres organization and also the Braves. Was it with the Red Sox, too? I think he bounced around a little bit, but didn't spend a whole lot of time at the big league level, but I absolutely love the honesty, and I love a guy who just didn't like him. I don't really need to give you a read. And he goes
on. Terry Boris over here. Yeah.
It was. Just didn't care for him.
You know, just don't like him.
Just don't like him. Mm-mm.
Okay, buddy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's... Don't like him.
Yeah, not a great big league player, but that doesn't mean he's a bad source, right? That doesn't mean what he's saying there is not true about Yasmani Grandal. And I talked about it when the Sox got him. I'd heard from someone who was a teammate of his as well that he was weird, that he was just an odd duck, not the guy, like just what Decker said. He will not be the veteran leader on your team. He's a little bit gruff and standoffish and eccentric, but he makes the pitchers on the staff better. So
let's try him.
What's that?
Let's try him again.
Okay.
Yeah, let's give him a try as a guest.
Okay. I'm surprised to hear you say that, given your normal...
No, that's why we just pulled the trigger.
$73 million worth of trigger. Yeah, why not? Indeed. That's a nice way to celebrate your 31st birthday just a couple of weeks or so after the fact. And I know you've been earning for some time, Yasmani, but have you thought about that item that maybe you've been a little reluctant to pick up on when you get one of those new big checks?
No, I don't.
No.
I don't spend much.
Oh, no.
No, I truly don't.
Okay.
I think I'm pretty smart with my money, so I guess we'll see in the next year or so.
What are you driving? What's your vehicle of choice?
I drive a 4F350.
Yeah, the 5.7, the big one.
Yeah, the big one.
Man, it's more awkward every time I hear it.
It's a 6.2, by the way, Ford boy.
Oh, boy. Look at you.
Yeah. My disappointment in him for not, because I had tried about four ways to try to find a key that fits the lock to his door, and I couldn't. And it's like, not even going to buy anything. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I had to go, oh,
Don't
no.
Don't blame his answers for your lack of Ford knowledge. That's not fair. Point
oh,
of
I'm not blaming it. Right, that's
point
on me.
That's on me. That's on you. I got.
Oh,
I got
no.
I got another Cubs Sox bet to propose. We only have two so far. Total wins and then total home runs. Eloy and Abreu against Schwarber and Baez. I got a pitching one for you. And a friend of our show has an interesting theory as it relates to COVID and football. It's
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Coming up on The Score.
Which station?
I don't condone this, and I think it's reckless. I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb. But...
Yes, that was Mike Florio's quadruple qualifier ahead of suggesting that fringe NFL players might intentionally infect themselves with the virus in order to get it out of the way and give them a shot to make the team, as if there's any proof that that means you can't get it again or anything. But you saw that as somewhat reasonable, and we'll see what happens. Boomer Esiason, Mac, had a different opinion as it relates to this. We love Boomer, our Monday afternoon quarterback during football season from WFAN in New York and CBS's NFL coverage. And he focused his tinfoil hat conspiracy theories on coronavirus and college football.
I got to be really careful here because I don't want to say that this is an accusation. I don't want to. I just was thinking the other day about what is going on with the SEC teams down south, and Clemson included, who's obviously an ACC team. A lot of their players are coming down with COVID-19, oddly enough. So are they trying to herd immunity their teams so these guys can get sick now as opposed to getting sick during the college football season, if in fact there is one? And I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't put it past any of those guys down there.
Sure. I mean, that's one of the first things I said about Belichick. I said, I watched Belichick get his whole team sick, so when the season rolls around, everybody's been through it already. Like, he would be the guy that would do that. So, and that was, I was saying that facetiously, but I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I think it's going on. I honestly, the numbers coming out of, like, you know, Alabama, LSU, and Clemson, all these teams,
yeah,
it's too much of a coincidence.
Hey, Marcus, go cough on this guy. And then you cough on him, and then you cough on the whole secondary.
I mean, would
y'all be fine in 3 weeks. Just shut up. Take your temperature. Go to your doctor. Y'all young. You'll be fine.
I mean, Ed Orgeron directing people to get sick is something that I don't think is that crazy.
Right. I don't think it's that crazy either. I mean, that's, you know, now you have 16 NBA players that have tested positive, and all these guys are most like, you know, they're all going to get through it. They're all going to come through it fine.
Mac, call me naive. I do find it to be crazy.
Which part? The part that somebody would actually do that? Or we have top-notch broadcasters suggesting coaches are endorsing it?
That it is a strategy of coaches in the SEC and at Clemson to tell their players to get infected with COVID now. That it is a strategy. That it is like football coaches looking for an edge, get infected with this virus on the collegiate level. I'm sorry, I'm as cynical as just about anybody. That strikes me as ludicrous.
It's a slanderous allegation being made by our friends in New York, both of them, and let's not just keep it to the college ranks, because you can't say, well, I could just see Bill Belichick. Oh, I said it facetiously. No, you didn't. You said you could see Bill Belichick being the guy who gets behind something like that. How is that facetious? You just said it in a very serious manner. I don't dismiss anything about human behavior. I believe football is so important to the lifestyle in the South and Southeast that you might have guys who are late teens and early 20s who do think it's in their best interest, and they'd be ill-guided in that regard, in my opinion, but who do think it's best to get it now, get it out of the way, because we're about 8 weeks away from when the season is supposed to kick. That is not crazy to me, understanding a little bit about how guys that age and in their early 20s think and how important football is to them. But to suggest that a coach would get behind it is slander.
Wait, slander. So you have no problem saying that the players themselves would come up with it, but where you draw the line is that the coaches would endorse
it? Well, it's not about me drawing any lines, Danny. It's not for me to say what they should or shouldn't do. What I'm telling you is I think it's a possibility that guys would try to get it now and get it out of there. Yes, I think that is a possibility. To intimate a coach being a linchpin for it, that's a slanderous charge. That is an act that would that can damage the guy's reputation. That's a fireable offense if a football coach, college or pro, tried to get his players together and say, you know what, we gotta do what we can here. We gotta contract this COVID-19 right now, get it out of the way, because we got special things heading our way in the fall if we're all healthy. So let's get it out of the way now. You got coaches involved in that, you'll never work again.
Hey, Marcus, go cough on this guy. And then you cough on him, and then you cough on the whole secondary.
Gio's very good.
His Cajun Ogeron is just fantastic. Yeah. It's amazing. You say, like, I'm not going to tell anyone, like, what to do. Like, I, you know, call me young and naive. I'll tell you what to do. Don't do that. Like, it's not worth it. I don't believe that that's happening. I don't believe that the players are intentionally getting it. I don't believe that the coaches are trying to have the players intentionally get it. But I also feel very confident in saying that that's a bad idea. Like, it's just, it's not something you should do. And we have absolutely no evidence to suggest that it would work. That it would actually allow you to play football for sure, that you'd recover. That
let me be clear. I'm not endorsing it, okay? I want if I'm not clear, let me – I don't – this is not something that you should do.
Yes.
But I think also at play here is the responsibility of the broadcaster. They both intimated they think these coaches are doing this. Boomer said, I think it's happening. I think he said it's going on.
Yeah.
Wow. And if you're going to name schools, well, you're pinpointing four or five people who you believe to be telling their athletes to go, man, oh man. Because if Nick Saban or if Sweeney, your guy,
not my guy.
Your guy with that goofy fishing cap he wears.
He's not my guy.
The long bill.
Yeah, the Facebook meme of the South. Yeah, that's not my guy.
They're doing that. They get wind of that, that people are saying that about them. They'll be pursuing litigation because that's slander. You can't say that about somebody. At the beginning of the commentary, Boomer says, I got to be careful here. And then he throws caution to the wind. I think it's happening. Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I studied comm law and slander and libel and all of that. And I hear what you're saying.
Libel is the printed word. Yeah, it's slander.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying, like, they are related, right, in terms of, like, the ability to be sued for. It's tough to prove when you're talking about a public figure. It's virtually impossible. Like, it's not, it can happen, but it's very, very difficult for public figure to slander another public figure in an opinion format. Like, he's saying it's my opinion. He's not saying he has evidence of it. He's not saying it is happening. He's saying he thinks it's happening. So I don't think it reaches the legal definition of what is required for slander. But it's a hell of a theory. Like, it's a hell of a theory that I'm pretty convinced is not happening. And if it was happening, so again, I'm with you. It's fireable and you never work again.
You shouldn't.
It would be a, yeah. it would just, I mean, I guess Art Briles keeps getting jobs, so maybe you would work again. But, and I'm someone who has a pretty low opinion of the
human
moral
race.
Compass, yeah, of human beings, but also of football coaches. Like, not in their inability to be great leaders of men, but just in terms of their inability sometimes to prioritize, like, real life versus football.
Right.
Like, it's not the most well-balanced profession, right. If I could generalize. So I don't think that highly of football coaches when it comes to that type of thing, but I am still a far cry away from thinking that that is happening. Like, here's what I think happened at Clemson when the 27 guys tested positive. I think someone had it, and they were playing football. Like, they were working out together, they were lifting weights, they were breathing hard, they were tackling, they were, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, really contagious. We've seen
God
stories.
Never says God just says ops.
Oh, Jesus. We've seen the story of the choir group, where it's like 61 people in a choir, someone has the virus, they leave, all of a sudden 53 of the 61 people get infected. Like, we're dealing with a very contagious disease here that spreads fairly easily if you don't practice social distancing and wear face coverings. So sometimes the simplest explanation is the right one. Like, my guess is someone on the team had the virus, and then they played football and worked out together, and then a lot of players on the team had the virus. That's my guess.
That would be my guess also, but I don't dismiss the notion that's been suggested by Florio or by Esiason that's a possibility. I believe it is. I believe there are young men who are that into football that they would think that's their best way to do this.
Yeah, and I'd think it'd be more likely to be the coach than the player. But I don't think it's likely to be either of them. As warped as I think the football brain can be, both literally and figuratively, I don't think we're at that point.
Well, if you'd stick a needle in your ass and you'd be willing to suffer all that goes with performance-enhancing drugs, where do you stop? I mean, that's very dangerous, what it does to your heart. What it does to your organs. Steroids are incredibly dangerous. The game by itself is very, very dangerous. We know how younger people view the coronavirus. It's not going to kill me. Right? High percentage of young people think that way.
Yes. Yes.
Right out of the chute. Spring break parties. You know, some of us incensed by it. Some people thought it was great. Look what they're doing down at Daytona. Well, that might be how some young guys think, working out together. Hey, let's get this now and get it out of the way. I can see that happening. That doesn't strike me as tinfoil hat at all. I'm not saying it's right. I can see it happening. I can hear those conversations between a couple of 21-year-old muscular men who believe football is something that's more important than anything.
But you can't see it with the coaches?
Man, there's too much on the line. I would no, see, no, yeah, see, way too much on the line for those coaches.
Okay. I would hope
that they're smarter than that. Maybe that's giving them too much credit.
Yeah, I don't know. I like I said, I'm going to be over here saying that I don't see it for either of them. But so that's Boomer's take. Here's another theory as it relates to coronavirus and sports, okay? This from noted philosopher Stephen A. Smith on First Take.
He tends to be loud, wrong, and take pointlessly dramatic pauses.
That's right. That's John Oliver's description of Stephen A. Smith, which was so wildly spot on. I loved it. He talked about, we'll call it the elephant in the room. We've talked about it a bit on this show as it relates to NBA players and the problems they might have in the so-called bubble.
Here's the reason you gotta be worried. I wanted to hold off on saying this, y'all, but I can't hold it no more. Do we really think that our the recreational activities, what these guys are accustomed to, are going to be compromised for 3 months? I mean, somebody's gotta say it. Somebody's got to say it. You really, really think that people are going to be without their wives or their woman? Okay? I mean, the guys that are married without their wives, the guys that ain't married without their woman, you really, really think they honoring a bubble for 3 months and are going to deprive? Somebody got to tell the truth. I'm not implying that anything salacious. I mean, like I said, if you're married, I'm talking about your wife. If you're single, I'm talking about your girl. The only point that I'm trying to make here is you asking dudes to go weeks.
No.
Without.
Quit yelling.
Thank you, Ed.
His presentation is just remarkable.
Yeah, it's something. I've been on that for 3 months.
Yeah, and he
the
said
recreational activities.
I've not referred to them as that, but
stay off the
weed. Gonna get your treat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is, of course, a likely culprit of what will break quarantine in the NBA and elsewhere. And I think he's being very generous when he says, when you're married, it's just your wife, and when you're single, it's your girlfriend. Because we know that there is plurality with that when it comes to young, rich, and famous.
Yeah, there sure is. There is with everybody in this world. But you know, not many people can just say, okay, you get 8 o'clock, you get 11 o'clock, you get midnight.
Yeah, right. It's certainly more prevalent among the young, rich, and famous, right? Mm-hmm. That's not a stereotype. That's not a rumor. That is simply a fact.
Yeah, infidelity's a part of that lifestyle, no question.
The recreational activities.
That's what we're talking about, screaming.
I remember Dwayne Bowe getting in trouble when I was covering the Chiefs in KC for, I think it was ESPN, the magazine, talking about his import-export business of, like, when the NFL schedule comes out, talking about, like, how he would start lining up. Okay, this is who I've got to fly into Tampa. Because I don't have a girlfriend down there, but I'm good for our game in Philly. You know, I obviously in the division, I got no problems in Denver or San Diego or Oakland. Like, it was just, and the Chiefs were like, Dwayne, what are you doing? Why are you saying the quiet part out loud? What are you doing? So yeah, it's not exactly the best kept secret.
That'll do it.
And right, why are you wasting your fastball in the hotel on a Saturday night, too? We got a game Sunday at noon. Might be one way that Andy Reid would have looked at that, too.
Yeah. This was in the Romeo Crennel days. Not a lot of discipline around those teams. But, yeah. Hey, last time, before I forget, last season, Yu Darvish, 229 strikeouts. In 178 and two-thirds innings pitched.
Q Darvish, that's a whole nother subject.
Lucas Giolito, 228 strikeouts, so one less, in 176 and two-thirds innings pitched. So they had the same amount of innings and the same amount of strikeouts. Like, we're doing no spread for wins, we're doing no spread for Eloy and Abreu versus Schwarber and Baez. Mm-hmm. Giolito v. Darvish, strikeouts, no spread.
Because it's so evenly matched based on a year ago, it's appealing. I don't love strikeouts simply as the wager. I don't mind that one. I do enjoy strikeouts. I'm one of the rare baseball enthusiasts who likes seeing pitchers rack up big strikeout numbers. So I'll go along with it if you want, but I think we can come up with some better pitching prop bets tomorrow.
Okay, I mean, just the number ones on both staffs, strikeouts
are
a story.
That's what makes it appealing. Yeah, it is appealing.
It's simple. It's easy to track. I like it. So, well, all right, we can revisit, but that's my nomination for our third Cubs Sox bet of the season. Straight up strikeouts, Darvish v. Giolito. We had an amazing visit with the sod father, Roger Bossert, today. He answered your landscaping questions, and he was just excellent in every way. You can check that out on the radio.com rewind. We also had Hub Arkish on the show. We appreciate Herb Lawrence, who's helped us out through all 72 of these quarantine shows. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Joe Strowski is coming up next. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score. We'll be right back.
We want to take this time to apologize for some of the language, but nonetheless, our sincerest apologies to you, the listeners.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.